Well, if you would, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 4. We're going to look tonight at verses 10 through verse 19. And as you're flipping there, I want to ask you tonight, what kind of life do you want to live? What kind of life do you want to live? I believe that that's one of the most, if not the single most important question that each of us must answer, regardless of what stage of life we're in. What type of life is it that we want to live? I don't necessarily mean what type of job do you want to have, and where do you want to live, and when do you want to retire, and when do you want to have kids, or how many kids do you want to have, but just more generally speaking, what type of life is it that you want to live? Whether you have 5 years left or 50 years left, how do you want to spend those years? Do you want to live it as an ambassador of the King, faithfully serving God daily? Do you want to live it as someone who is a selfless person, who lives a life of humility, faithfully and daily walking with the Lord and being a blessing to others? Or do you want to live life unto yourself, a selfish life that walks with the ways of this world? Because what we're going to see tonight in Proverbs 4 is it really paints a picture of those two paths, that each and every one of us has the opportunity to walk. It paints a clear picture for the life, for the path of those that walk with God, and then the life and the path of those who do not walk with God. So in this passage, Solomon really gives two ways that each of us can live. There's the way of wisdom, and there's the way of folly. There is the way of life, and there's the way of death. There is no other way. There is no third way. There is simply the right path, and then there is the wrong path. So tonight, as we look to this passage, I just want to ask each of us to humbly reflect on our life and answer the question, what path are you walking? What path are you walking? Daily, faithfully, consistently, are you walking down the right path, or are you walking down the wrong path? Because here's the promise of Proverbs 4 that we're going to see as we read this passage tonight. If you and I choose the right way, if we choose the right path daily and faithfully and consistently, life will be increasingly sweet and eternally bright. But if we choose the wrong way, faithfully and consistently, life will be increasingly wicked and devastatingly dark. So before we look at this passage, I want to give you just a couple quick things, just generally speaking, about the book of Proverbs. I've been walking through this book with many of our coaches and our team huddles through FCA the past few months, and it's been a really, really good journey through that. It's so applicable, so needed in our lives. And one of the things that I was introduced to as I was getting ready for that, I want to share with you because it really helped me with some of the difficult Proverbs that we see. So a proverb is a short but really pointed statement. I mean, it's really jam-packed. Frank was mentioning this past Sunday how he has to read scripture very, very slowly. Well, even more so with the Proverbs, right? I mean, it is just jam-packed with great wisdom for life. And really, it does that primarily by revealing the prosperity of the wise and revealing the pitfalls of the wicked, of the fool. It really elevates the life of humility that is walking with God and revealing the misery and the pitfall of those who reject the wisdom of God and don't walk with God. But one thing I want you to see about each proverb that we'll see in tonight's passage is this. They don't teach a universal truth, but rather a general statement of reality. And what I mean by that is this. The Proverbs are true at most times for most people, but not true at all times for all people. For example, to give you one that we'll see tonight, we see verses through Proverbs that talk about the long life of those that have wisdom. Well, that's true at most times for most people, right? But sadly, we know that there's tragedy in life. We know that sometimes young people, good people, godly people do pass away at a young age. So when it comes to the Proverbs, it's not an unconditional promise, but it's a general statement of reality. This is wisdom from God that is true in our lives, that we should apply it to our lives. But understand another example, right? Train a child up in the way that he or she should go, and what? They won't depart from it. Well, praise God, that is true most times. But sadly, there are those cases where people grow up in a good and godly home, and the way of this world lures them and entices them. So that really helped me when it comes to the book of Proverbs, and I hope that it's helpful to you. At the core, this book is really about instilling wisdom into the person that fears God. Wisdom is the skill for you and I to effectively navigate all of life to the glory of God. Life at home, life in the workplace, life as a church. Wisdom is the skill to navigate all of those things for the glory of God. So the book of Proverbs is really devoted to helping you and I have the wisdom that we need to navigate through this life and glorify God. And a vital component of wisdom is you and I learning how to consistently walk down that right path, that good path, and to avoid at all costs the wrong path in our life. So with that in mind, let's look to Proverbs chapter 4, verses 10 through 19. The Word of God says this: "Hear, my son, and accept my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have directed you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in upright paths. When you walk, your step will not be impeded. And if you run, you will not stumble. Take hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not proceed in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not pass by it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they do evil, and they are robbed of sleep unless they make someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. The way of the wicked is like darkness, and they know not over what they stumble." I want to begin as Solomon begins tonight. I want to give us five instructions that he presents for the right path. Five instructions for the right path. He begins and he says, "Hear," or "listen." Now, I don't know about you, but I'm often guilty of listening without really hearing. You know, I found myself in grade school and college, and even now sometimes in seminary, I will humbly confess, and even sadly, sometimes in the church pew as you are now, sometimes it's been 5 minutes and I realize I haven't heard a thing that he has said. You know, maybe some of you have been that way for the last 5 minutes. But sometimes, like, we're listening, but we're not really hearing, right? We're not really engaged. And the Proverbs are most literally wrote from a father to a son, right? Of course, as all the Word of God, it's for you and I today, but each has a specific and intended audience at that time. And this is from a loving father to his son. And Solomon says, "Hear." Like, listen, this is important. You desperately need this for your life. Man, he compels his son that he must fix his mind. He must fix his heart on what he's about to hear. And each and every time, guys, that you and I, whether we sit down to read or whether we gather to hear corporately from the Word of God, like, we need to fix our mind and our heart on what God has to say. So Solomon, he says, "Hear. Listen, this is vitally, desperately important for your life." Then he says, "Accept my sayings. Receive them and latch onto them." For me, it's almost a picture of a receiver catching a football and then securing it all the way through the end zone. We just had the national championship game Monday night. As myself and many others who are Auburn fans, it was a lose-lose situation for us. There was really nothing good that could come of that. I went into that game, and I had told a few people, I said, "Look, what's the big difference in Alabama, of course, in my lifetime, that is, getting an eighth national championship instead of seven? I mean, I'm numb to it at this point. I said, but if Georgia gets it now, they've got something that they can hang over our heads. So it was really a lose-lose, and I went into it with that mindset. But as the game got on, I was like, I can't physically want Alabama to win. I mean, I know I said that coming into it, but as the game unfolded, I couldn't physically want to see Alabama have any success. But then when Georgia won it, it was no better for us, right? So it wasn't good for Auburn fans. But to me, I picture a receiver, man, he catches that football and he secures it all the way to the end zone. Because in between those lines, man, that football is important. That football is sacred. And Solomon says here, this is vitally important for you, son. Receive this, secure it, latch onto it, accept my saying. And then he says, take hold of instruction. Right, hold on to it tightly. Paul told the Philippian church, he says, hold fast to the word of life. As I was reading this, I got to thinking for our senior trip when I was 18, when we graduated, we went on a cruise ship. And if you've been on one, or maybe you've seen in a movie or something, whenever you get ready, you get on the ship and they gather everybody up and they have this instruction for if a tragedy occurs, what you're supposed to do to evacuate, right? For everyone to get into the lifeboat and to get out. And I mean, I'm 18 years old, and two, I just thought it was pointless, right? So I didn't listen really to a thing they had to say because I didn't value it, right? I didn't think it was needed, and it wouldn't have been until I needed it, right? I would have been totally lost if something had happened on that ship because I didn't listen to the instruction. I didn't take hold of the instruction. And Solomon here again, he's desperately asking his son, hear these words, right? Receive these words. Take hold of these words. They are vitally important to your life. And then he says, don't let them go. Don't let them go. Don't release yourself from God's wisdom. Every single one of us here tonight has been blessed with the ability to hear and to read from the Word of God. Some of you might be like me who grew up in a great godly home. I mean, from my mother's womb, I was taught about the Word of God. And even if that wasn't your case, at some point in time along these years, you have found your way here to Grace Baptist Church where you can hear the Word of God taught. Rightly divided. So every one of us, we have, by God's grace, come to a place where we have heard from the Word of God. But the temptation is this. The temptation is to drift away. The temptation is to drift away from that upbringing that you had when you were young. And that temptation is to come and to gather, but to really just drift away from what we hear each and every week. That's the temptation of our flesh. But the reality is, we're instructed, don't let go. Hold on tightly, accept these sayings, hear these sayings. And then finally, he says there in number 5, guard her. Guard her, keep watch, protect her, preserve. Ancient cities would often have a watchman that would guard the entrance into the city to ensure that the people and the belongings were kept safe, that there was no danger that was going to come in. And here Solomon, he paints the picture of you and I being a watchman on the wall. And we're watching to ensure that nothing and no one can come in and steal God's wisdom from us. Because the reality is the world is going to try and do just that. They're going to try and lure you. They're going to entice you. They're going to say things like, that book is outdated. They're going to say things like, that book is so closed-minded. They're going to say things like, that book, it just takes all the fun out of your life. And we have to guard preciously the Word of God. Why? Because Solomon says, she is your life. She is your life. You see, the Word of God should be the single most important thing in each and every one of our lives. Without the Word of God, we have no standard. We have no direction. The reality is our world is the way that it is today because by and large, the world has rejected the Word of God. And as they did in the time of the judges, each man does what is right in his own eyes. Because the Bible is a lamp to our feet. It is a light to our path. It is the single most important thing in our life. And Solomon says, guard her as such. Guard her as if she is in fact your very life. You see, it's not by accident that Solomon seems to be repeating himself over and over again. He's essentially saying the same thing, and he's just saying it in different ways. He's trying to help his son realize if he is going to walk down the right path, if you and I are going to walk down the right path daily and faithfully and consistently, we must cling to the Word of God. We must cherish and value God's word as the single most important thing in our life. If we're going to faithfully walk with Him, we must be wholeheartedly committed to the word of God. Hear, he says, accept, keep, and guard, for she is your life. So he begins by giving us instructions for taking the right path. But secondly, I want to draw your attention to the warnings that he provides about the wrong path. He says first there, do not enter the path of the wicked in verse 14. Do not enter the path of the wicked. It's a picture almost of don't take a single step in that direction. Because the reality is this, rarely does one step not lead to two steps and two steps not lead to 10 steps. The best way to avoid going down the wrong path is to not take one single step in that direction. And as I was getting ready for tonight and getting ready to speak to our youth this weekend, I mean, there's a multitude of sins in which we could really see that lived out. But for me, man, in the world in which we live today, like I just see so often that lived out through drug abuse and through sexual immorality. Man, like I tell kids so often, it is much, much harder to stop something that's been going on than it is to never start. I mean, if you want to live a life of sexual purity, never get going down that path. Because it's extremely difficult, and only by the grace of God can you stop when you get going down it. And the same is true. We see drugs rampant in our world and in our country today and even right here in our neck of the woods. And it begins with that one step in that direction. And that one step leads to two and it leads to ten. And one day you find yourself completely consumed and wrapped in this addiction. Solomon tells us the best way to avoid the path of the wicked is to not take a single step. Do not enter that direction. Secondly, he says, do not proceed in the way of evil men. Don't allow the wicked to try and lead you and entice you on to their path. You see, the evil, the wicked that he describes here, they're those whose heart is bent away from the glory of God. They could care less about the glory of God, and really they're consumed with their own self-glory. But here's the problem. They're not content to walk that path alone. They're not content to walk that path alone. They want others to live in misery with them. Don't allow them to convince you that their way is the best way, that their way is the right way. Solomon says, don't proceed in the way of evil men. And then he says, avoid it. Do not pass by it. I just kind of combined those into one, but avoid it. Do not pass by it. Oh, it's so much like the sermon that we heard here 2 weeks ago in the Gospel of Mark. And that great passage where Frank said, never forget this sermon. And we look to Jesus where he warned this great crowd and he said, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Right? If your hand calls you to sin, cut them off. Get rid of them. It's better to go into eternal life maimed than to eternal damnation. Whatever it takes, he says, avoid that path. Do not pass by that path. And the reality, as Frank told us a few weeks ago, is that we've got to get radical. And some of us, man, we've got to take much more drastic measures than we've been taking if we're really going to avoid and pass by that evil and wicked way. Some people may need to take measures. You may not need to have internet access on your phone. Having a smartphone with internet access for you right now is just not something that you need. It's not a wise thing for you to have. Some of you, whether you're 18 or 28 or 58, you may need to get away and separate yourself from some bad influences. You know, we often talk about peer pressure and we just associate that to teenagers, to our youth. But the reality is we never graduate from the peer pressure of this world. And some of you might need to separate yourself from certain bad influences. Doesn't mean we don't love them and pray for them and encourage them. And certainly from time to time we spend time with them to impact them for the case of Christ. But separate ourselves from them so that they don't lure us onto that evil and wicked path. Every one of us needs an accountability partner in our life. We need someone who prays for us and holds us accountable that we can confess our sins and our struggles to and be there for one another. But the reality is, guys, we all need to do much more. We all need to get much more serious about putting to death the sin in our life, about avoiding this wicked path and not passing by it. He tells us there, number four, he says, turn away from it. Turn away from it. It's just a picture of going the exact opposite direction. Don't hang around the wrong path. Don't flirt with it. Don't leave the door cracked open so you can come back some later time. He says, turn away from it. And man, when you do, he says, pass on. Pass on. Get going on your way. Get going on the right path. Get going on the good path and never look back, he says. Never turn away. Why? Why such strong, clear, compelling warnings for you and I about this path? What is so dangerous about following this wicked path, this evil path that he describes? Well, look with me to verse 16 and 17 again. He says, for they can't sleep unless they do evil. They are robbed of sleep unless they make someone stumble. They eat the bread of wickedness and they drink the wine of violence. You see, I told you earlier that the evil, they're not content to walk this path alone. They thrive off of seeing others stumble along the way. And I believe it's because it helps their own conscience. But the consequences of walking down this path unchecked, the consequences of walking down this wicked way without repentance, they are eternal. Because I want us to look here now, thirdly, at the promises of each path. He's given us some clear instruction about how we should walk down the right path. He's given us some clear instruction of how we should do everything we can to avoid this wrong path. And man, he just clearly, guys, just lays out before us a clear picture of what our life will look like in both directions. If we'll take consistently the right path, or if we take consistently the wrong path, it's a clear promise of each direction. He says, son, back there in the first verse that we looked together in verse 10, he says, son, if you'll accept my sayings, and the years of your life will then be many. Again, that's true at most times for most people. You live your life in humility, abiding by the word of God, avoiding that wicked and evil way. Most people will live a good and long life. In the Ten Commandments, our children or all people are instructed, honor your mother and father that your years may be many, right? That's true at most times for most people. He goes on and he says in verse 11, I have directed you in the way of wisdom, right? This right path, this path of walking faithfully with the Lord. He says, I've directed you in that way. I've led you in the upright path. And he says, when you walk, your step won't be impeded. And if you run, you will not stumble. Solomon isn't saying that if you walk with God, your life will be easy and breezy. It doesn't mean that we'll never face hardships in this life. But what it does mean is that this is the single best path for our life. That God will be with us. That he will provide for us. That he will never leave us. That he'll never forsake us. He says, listen to me, son. This is the single best path for your life. If you go your own way, son, you're going to trip. You're going to stumble. And you're going to fall. If you go your own way, life will be extremely difficult for you. God's way is the best way every time, all the time. So receive his word and walk with him. Oh man, he goes on to paint such a clear picture for us. Look again at verse number 18. The path of the righteous. In contrast to this life of wickedness to where you can't even sleep, unless you've brought someone else into this wickedness that you're a part of. He says, but the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. I'm an early morning person. I love the outdoors. I love to get up and hunt or fish, and just I'm just an early bird. And man, there's just such a beautiful thing to watch that sun rise up. And man, as it rises up throughout the day, it gets higher and higher and brighter and brighter until it reaches that noonday peak. And man, Solomon says, that's what life is like with God. Life with God, man, it gets sweeter and sweeter and better every single day. Now, I didn't necessarily say that life gets easier. No, but life gets better. It gets sweeter and it gets better every day as we are conformed not to the image of this world, but transformed more and more into the image of Christ. Man, life with God gets better every single day, even if it gets more difficult here on this earth. Oh man, he paints such a great and clear picture for us as the noonday comes up, man. And when you're out, if you're a hunter, if you're out at dawn, man, it's difficult. You see movement and you look through your scope and you're like, man, I just can't quite see yet. But man, as the sun gets higher and higher, man, you can see more and more clearly. And what Solomon is saying here is, man, the more that you walk with God, the more that you read from his word and live out what you read, the more clearly you can see how to walk through this life for God's glory. It's a book of wisdom. It's a book geared toward helping you and I navigate through life for the glory of God. And guys, the more that we walk with God, the more we listen to his word, the more we apply his word, the more we can see clearly how to live for him. Life with God gets better. The promise is clear, guys. If you and I daily and faithfully and consistently choose the right path, life will be increasingly sweet. And it will be eternally bright. It'll be increasingly sweet here on this earth. And man, it will be eternally bright with our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in eternal glory. Oh man, what a great picture. But guys, the warning is also clear. If you choose the wrong path daily and faithfully and consistently, he says life will be increasingly wicked and it will be devastatingly dark. Look again at verse 19 with me. He says, the way of the wicked is like darkness, and they do not know over what they stumble. You see, without the illuminating light of God's word guiding their way, the wicked, the world, they don't know the cause of their problems. They don't know the connection between sin and darkness. The reality is this, guys, you and I, we live in a world where there is a great number of mass shootings. There is an alarming number of suicides, especially among our youth. By and large, we have the most money. We have the best technology, the most books, the most doctors, the most schools, and the most medicine of any culture in the history of the world. We do. But at the same time, we have the least happy and the most dysfunctional society in the history of the world. Why? Because by and large, the world has rejected the word of God. They have chosen the path of darkness instead of the path of light. And eventually the darkness gets so deep and so overwhelming that Solomon says they know not over what they are stumbling. And to me, as I read through this passage, to me, the most dangerous thing of all is this. It's a slow fade in either direction. You know, I guess about a decade or so ago, I'm not exactly sure, but Casting Crowns, they came out with a song, and it was titled just that. It's a slow fade. And man, I remember the first time I heard that song, I was a new Christian, and even though I had grown up in church, man, I was a babe. I was drinking the milk, right? And man, I heard that song, and it just greatly impacted me, and it still does today. Because the reality is this, guys, if you noticed the downward spiral and the downward trajectory of the path of the wicked, it begins with one simple step and it ends in utter darkness. And the humbling thing to me is it's a slow fade in either direction. The human being has a unique ability to not stay the same. when I was still playing ball and even when I was coaching myself, I was always coached and I always taught my players that you never stay the same. I mean, every single day that you pick up a ball, every single day that you hit the practice field, every day in the weight room, like no matter what it is in life, you are either digressing or you are progressing. We as human beings just, we do not stay the same. And guys, this is also true in our spiritual walks. We are either drawing near unto God or we are drifting away from God. Like that's just the reality. There really is no middle ground. It is a slow fade for us in either direction. You don't wake up one day and magically just be miles and miles closer to God. And you don't just wake up one day and you're magically miles and miles farther away from God. The reality is it's one faith-filled decision followed by another faith-filled decision followed by another faith-filled decision. Or it's one poor decision followed by another poor decision, followed by another poor decision. And that to me is where the danger really lies when you think about these two paths that Solomon puts before us. And my fear is that the danger is that, man, some here tonight might be beginning to walk down that wrong path. You're not hearing, as Solomon said. You're not accepting. You're not taking hold of the Word of God. You're not guarding the Word of God as if it's your very life. Man, some of you tonight, you may already be miles down the wrong path. You may not even know how you got there. And I just urge you, whether it's one step or two step or 10 steps down that direction, man, I just urge you to stop. And I urge you to repent and to run back to the Father. Because the reality is, He offers us a fresh start, a clean slate. He offers us forgiveness of sins and life eternal. Because if you don't, if you continue walking down that wicked path and that evil path unchecked and without repentance, without trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ for your sins and your forgiveness, man, life is going to be increasingly wicked and it's going to be devastatingly dark. You're going to wake up one day and you're not going to know up from down. You won't know right from wrong. If you reject this right path, if you reject the person and work of Jesus Christ, there will be no sacrifice for your sins. There's nowhere else to turn. And as Frank preached on last week, you'll spend an eternity in hell, bearing the wrath of God, the just consequence of your sins. Now, I don't want you to hear me wrong tonight. There is a difference in making a mistake and temporarily stumbling into this darkness and then habitually walking with the wicked. 1 John is a great book to read about that. There's a difference in temporarily stumbling in the darkness and then perpetually, habitually walking with the wicked. And the reality is, from time to time, sadly, this side of heaven, we're all going to choose the wrong path from time to time. Oh man, though we strive, as he said, be ye perfect as I am perfect. Though we strive for perfection, though we chase after with everything that we have, we know that as Paul said in Philippians, we won't taste it until we get to heaven and get a glorified body with our Lord. So sadly, from time to time, we are going to choose the wrong path. We're going to make a fleshly decision and we're going to sin against God. Oh man, but praise be to God, Jesus, he never chose the wrong path. He always chose the right path. Man, he lived a sinless life, the life that you and I are supposed to be living and failed to. We missed the mark every single day. He never once missed the mark. No, he lived perfectly. He lived without sin. And in doing so, he became a perfect sacrifice for our sins. And at the cross, the sinless Son of God, the Lamb of God, he was slain for our sins. Penalty of sin, the wages of sin was death, and guys, he paid the price in full. And they put him into a tomb, and they said, we'll never have to hear from him again. Oh, but 3 days later, he rose up from the dead. And now he ascended to the right hand of the throne of God, and he lives forevermore to make intercession for you and I. So that when we choose that wrong path, he can say, Father, they're with me. They're forgiven. They're cleansed. And he can take us from that wrong path and he can place us back onto the right path. Man, I watched a video, Caitlin and I were laughing, it was, I guess about a week ago, and I think it was on Twitter, and it said, why so many times in the scripture we're described as sheep. And if you know about a sheep, they're just not a very smart animal. And man, I mean, I'm telling you, there was like a little ditch, like a little drainage ditch that was running through this wide open pasture. And I mean, this sheep he's right in this ravine and he can't get out. And I mean, just as soon as the shepherd gets over there and gets him out, you know, he's prancing around the pasture and 2 seconds later he takes a turn and man, he's just right back in it, you know. Oh, but praise God, as we sing about on Sundays, we have a good and faithful shepherd that will advocate for us and they'll intercede for us. So guys, man, I urge you daily and faithfully and consistently choose the right path. And then, man, if you do, life will be increasingly sweet and it will be eternally bright. Like life will get better and better and sweeter with God. And when from time to time, man, you choose that wrong path, you take that one step, don't let it turn the two. Don't let it turn the 10. Repent of your sins and return back to the Father. You see, living with wisdom means that you and I must consistently and faithfully choose the right path. We live in a world full of temptation, guys. And it's so easy for us to drift away from God if we don't hear and accept and hold tight to and guard these words of life, the very precious word of God. So I urge each and every one of us tonight, choose the right way every day until that final day. And if you do, life will be increasingly sweet and eternally bright. So I ask you again, what path are you walking? What kind of life is it that you want to live? The picture is clear in either direction, and the choice is ours. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you, Father, specifically for the book of Proverbs, specifically a book devoted to helping us have the wisdom we need to navigate through this life for your glory. And Father, we thank you for just a clear picture from your word tonight of really what each and every one of our lives can look like. Or life with you, though not always easy, is the best life. Oh man, and it gets sweeter and sweeter every single day until that final day when we rest with you forevermore. Oh, but Father, the humbling reality, and we thank you for it, is that the picture of our life without you, the picture of a life that rejects you and walks with the wicked, it is devastatingly dark. And Lord, I just humbly ask if there's any here tonight that might be walking down that wrong path, or that you would help them, that you would convict them, and Lord, that you would remind them that they have a Savior who is perfectly able to forgive them and to restore them and to get them back on the right and good path for their life. So Lord, we humbly ask tonight that you would meet our every need. In Christ Jesus, our Lord, we pray. Amen.